Our theme is peace today. I was thinking about a theme today some time ago and decided to look at peace this week. A little while ago, earlier this week or late last week, I started to make some notes. A few days later, I discovered I'd lost them. Not a very peaceful moment. There is sometimes a moment when, as a preacher, a small degree of panic sets in. A sermon needs to be written. A sermon with a message that will hopefully be helpful or useful to those who listen to it. Hopefully the message will be to point people to Jesus. The subject this morning for us is peace. But it was elusive at the point when I realised my notes were gone. And all sorts of other things were happening this week. Maybe you can relate to this in some way. You have something at work you're supposed to have done. And you're meeting with the boss soon. Maybe you've met with the boss before. And you start to have that uneasy feeling. You have friends coming round, or perhaps family, and you've started to prepare and then life gets in the way and then the rest of the preparation, you realise that you've lost that particular ingredient that you needed. Or the house needs completely hoovering before they come round because it hasn't been done for a while. Or you realise they're about 5 minutes away and the bathroom needs cleaning. Those sorts of panic moments. If you never have those, I take my hat off to you. Because you're obviously much better at keeping life in its boxes. So life gets in the way of the things we want to be doing or have to do. But then we're alive, aren't we? And we have people around us that need us, things to be done, people to see, places to go. I've been visiting various elderly folk this week. Pastoral visits, but also family. This is life. These people needed me to be there, to be with them at certain times. One of those visits took up a whole day with travelling at both ends. My mother is nearly 82. Some of you will remember her. She visits here. She has memory problems, but is still very active and still has the extraordinary ability to continue to want to be of help to others. However, for a number of reasons, which I won't go into here, it wasn't easy and it left me feeling quite drained and without much left in my reserve pot as I drove home. So not feeling very peaceful. So what do we do when we're giving out to others? Where do we get our sustenance from, our refreshing? Is it by escaping? We go and read a book. I love crime novels, but I think if I read too much of them, you steep yourself, don't you, in the nasty stuff of crime novels. They're all right occasionally, but it's too much. Maybe in our heads, how do we cope with how we're coping? Or do we feel a failure if we're not coping? Do we read or do we watch TV or do we eat chocolate or do we do all three? Sometimes that is sometimes what we need to do. But at other times, and I would suggest that every day it's good just to take a few moments or more in each of our busy days to be with God, to sit in his presence like Mary did when Jesus came to visit her with Martha. Rather than just focusing on the tasks, on the things that are around, to remind ourselves that we are accepted for who we are, warts and all. That we are loved by God. That we are significant to him in the grand scheme of how the world is. A real peace that comes from knowing that we are loved by an almighty God who is so full of grace and mercy, who just keeps loving us despite everything. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Near to the end of John's Gospel, in John 20, first reading, John writes of how Jesus appeared to his disciples after his crucifixion. That's John 20, 19 to 23. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." So slightly different words. Peace be with you. Disciples had locked themselves in. They were frightened of what might happen to them if they were discovered. They might have felt let down or betrayed or doubt at what they'd been told by Jesus himself. Anxious, maybe, scared that they would be found by the Roman occupying army and also put to death because of their association with Jesus. "Peace be with you," verse 19. "Peace be with you," he said. And he repeated it. "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus really wanted his disciples to have peace, to know peace in their hearts and in their minds. He knew they were feeling vulnerable and frightened, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." If they were willing to receive the Holy Spirit, he knew that they would be empowered to move on from what must have been a paralyzing fear. He wanted them to remember his teaching and who he was, who God was, and that this knowledge would enable them to go out into the world and tell others about him. Peace is something that's mentioned a lot in the Bible. It's written about, I like looking at these numbers. It doesn't mean much, but it just enables me to see where things are and how many times things are mentioned. A quirk. It's written about in 26 of the 39 books of the Old Testament, and in every gospel and letter in the New Testament except for one. In the Old Testament, there are many places where it is written that the Lord God says that he will grant peace, or the Lord turns his face towards you and gives you peace, making a covenant of peace, or the land had peace. They would know peace. The peoples would know peace. It's spoken about as a positive thing, a life-giving entity, a thing, if you will, a situation. But it's at its very core, peace is a kingdom principle, along with justice and righteousness. It's a kingdom principle. And we want to see God's kingdom come in, don't we? So these principles of peace and justice and righteousness demonstrate that God's reign is characterized by love. That's what's right at the core. Jesus is referred to many things in Isaiah, for example. A wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, and of course, the Prince of Peace. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches about peace at various points in his ministry. However, after Jesus delivers the long Sermon on the Mount to many people, you can find that in Matthew, he called his disciples to him and gave them extra advice along with the authority to act in his name, driving out evil spirits and to bring healing. In Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says some words that at first glance sound like a contradiction of Isaiah's Prince of Peace, of what Luke says about the proclamation of the birth of Jesus on all earth, peace to all men. And in John's Gospel, "Peace I leave with you." So what he says is in Matthew, which is the second verse, Matthew chapter 10. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household." Continues on after that. But what he was saying is something different from what I've said just now. The truth is that Jesus Christ did come to bring peace. He came to bring peace between the believer in him and God, and peace amongst people on earth, amongst other believers. See, God wants there to be peace amongst all people. But what is inevitable, what follows automatically, that the result of Christ's coming is conflict between Christ and the Antichrist, between light and darkness, between the children of God who follow Christ and those who do not. I'm not going to polarize this and go somewhere we don't need to go at this point, but you know yourselves when you're trying to follow God. Other people sometimes get in the way of that, and that's life, because we're all human. None of us are perfect. It makes us feel good to be here in church, doesn't it? Because we're amongst believers, we're worshipping, but none of us get it right all the time, and we can pull others off the path as well. But what Jesus wants to do is to bring peace to us and peace to others, and he wants us to be an agent for peace, to bring peace to others, to speak words of peace, to be peacemakers. And that sometimes means not saying something, but sometimes it means saying something into a situation or into a conversation. When things are going downhill, pear-shaped, people are saying things perhaps that aren't helpful. Sometimes we need to speak words of peace and to bring peace to others. And it's hard when we have members of our family that aren't believers, that don't seem to be following Christ, but the best thing we can do is to pray for them and to show by example, even though it's frustrating and we disagree perhaps with how they're living their lives. We can continue to pray for them because God loves them. There's another reading in John 14 where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. It's John 14:25. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I was turning around there because some words are more helpful than others. This talks about an advocate. And I think sometimes the word advocate to mean helper is actually easier for us to understand. So Jesus came that we might find peace, and he left the Holy Spirit. He came to bring us hope that things could be different, that the world can change, and that the world has changed because Jesus came. He brought us his Holy Spirit. He promises his Holy Spirit. He gives his Holy Spirit as a free gift. At the end of Paul's letter to the Romans, when Paul writes about divisions among the people and being wise about doing good, he writes, "The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you." We desperately need the grace and the truth and the peace that is in Jesus. I don't know about you, but I really do. I feel very ungracious sometimes. I can't live without him. It doesn't work. I've tried, not deliberately, but things get in the way. Life is somehow bleaker and darker and joyless and doesn't have much meaning. But actually when we look to the cross, we look and find the hope that is there, that Jesus gave us, that he came and he saved us and he redeemed us And he loves us despite who we are. And he loves other people despite who they are. And he keeps loving us, and he keeps loving us. And when we receive that, and we receive it, and we receive it, we're far more able to give out to other people. Because if we don't receive it, we run dry. It's a bit like a tap, isn't it? Turn the tap on, you turn it off at the mains, nothing comes out. Makes a horrible grating noise sometimes, depending on what condition your pipes are in. Yeah, so that picture of a tap, make sure the mains is turned on all the time. So that flow of God's Holy Spirit, you can receive it, but don't keep it to yourself. Imagine that coming in. You might just blow up. You need to turn the tap on and give it out to other people. So we desperately need God's Holy Spirit. We need his grace, and we need his truth, and we need his peace. To speak truth into conversations, as I said before, to bring peace to others, we need grace. Us humans don't have that in plentiful supply sometimes, do we? To bring grace and to bring peace into conversations or situations when there are divisions is something we need help with. I don't know about you, but I find myself in situations sometimes when I think, I don't know what to say here. And I'm supposed to know what to say. And I pray and the words come. Or I know I'm going to be going into a difficult situation and I don't feel up to it. So I pray and I ask God to lead me and to guide me by his Spirit, because we can't do these things sometimes in our own strength. In this world, when there's so much confusion about what brings us happiness and contentment, where we're sold the dream of happy ever after and of what brings us that feel-good feeling, the message of the cross and the sacrifice is powerful. It's a powerful message. Seems uphill sometimes to try and explain that to somebody. But sometimes just being with them and being who God wants you to be in that situation and listening to them. Sometimes something of the Spirit will reach them. If you're praying for them, you can pray for them under your breath. You can pray for them before you go. They'll know that there's something different. And if they don't, keep praying for them. Keep praying for the openings in the conversation. Because it's hard, isn't it, just to open the conversation. Oh, by the way, do you know Jesus loves you? Well, you can say that. It depends on who it is, isn't it? The message of the cross and the sacrifice is a very powerful one. Jesus came so that we might understand the difference of what is truth and grace in this world. And he came that we would understand the character of God better. And in Acts 10, 36, it says that the message of God sent to the people of Israel announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Paul has much to say about peace in all of his letters, and it was at the very core of who he was in Christ and all that he tried to convey through his letters to the churches he wrote to. Because of this, he starts with all of his letters, including the words, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to make the message so plain to those he was writing to that he felt it essential to include it every single time he wrote. He knew that it was a core part of the message of the cross, of the sacrifice of Jesus. That peace was at the very heart of what Jesus stood for. What this really meant by way of reconciliation for those who had faith in what Christ had done for them, to God himself and to other believers. Ultimately, of course, God does want, as I said earlier, peace in the world, and still does, amongst all people, not just believers. And that is the message that we carry with us to others who are not yet believers in Christ. And many of the great religions have peace at the core. But God is peace. He gave people life. So people that seek faith in some way will find God, not as we understand him through Jesus, but they will find their interpretation of him. So we can relate to other people who have other faiths. We might not think that they're right in how they practice or whatever, but we can be thankful that some of them are peacemakers. Not all, but we have to be thankful that there is a work of peace amongst the great religions. The message of the cross is peace. That by being peacemakers, we can be agents of change where we are. By proclaiming peace into situations, into the conversations around us. There are times perhaps when we have felt unsure, frightened, vulnerable. We have self-doubt. Perhaps we can relate to some of the emotions that the disciples were feeling in that locked room. They'd lock themselves in for safety. Sometimes we lock things in, don't we? Because it's safer. But God, although he's a powerful God, he's a very gentle God. And his Holy Spirit comes with healing. So when we are unsure, frightened, vulnerable, we need that peace. We also need that peace that comes with knowing more about Jesus and by spending time with him. We also need to receive that spirit of peace that he so willingly gives. It's a gift, if we want it. The disciples were willing to receive God's Holy Spirit, to receive that peace. Are we? Are you? That peace that comes with knowing Christ in the very depths of you. Receiving that gift that is freely given to all of those who want it. Like the disciples, are we trapped in a situation in the locked room where there appears to be no way out? It might be a family situation, it might be a work situation, it might be something that's happened that we can't get past and we know that we need to get past it to move on. Maybe we need to receive a fresh anointing of God's Holy Spirit to move on from that place of feeling fear or doubt about a situation, something that's holding us back. Maybe we just need a fresh touch from God, because it's been a while since you sat in his presence. If that is you, then I would encourage you to perhaps make a decision about what you want to do. Status quo, keep it how it is, safer that way. Or maybe step out, maybe you can open your hands out when we have a time of prayer. It's a symbolic thing, but actually we're not sitting there like this. Oh, sorry. Cross-armed and cross-legs. That's fine if you're cross-armed, cross-legs at the moment, not to pray. But in a time of prayer, open yourself to God. Open yourself to the Holy Spirit. When we pray together in a minute and receive more of his Spirit. Or maybe you'd like someone else to pray for you. After the service, perhaps. We're going to pray now. And perhaps we can have a time of quiet. Just to hear the gentle noise of the rain or the cars going past. Just to hear what it is that God is saying to you. Perhaps just receive the peace that is Christ. Receive his Spirit of truth and grace and peace. To be in your presence, not rushing away. To be in your presence, Lord. That's where we want to stay. We thank you for your peace that you give to us so freely. We receive your Holy Spirit and the grace and the truth that is Jesus, Spirit of Christ. Father, we thank you for every person here, for the fresh touch of your anointing, of your Holy Spirit upon their lives. I pray that as everybody goes out into the week from this place, with the leaders next door and the children in various parts of the building, and our loved ones that can't be here today. We ask, Lord, that you give us a fresh touch of your Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to prepare us for what lies ahead. We know that you go before us. We know that you surround us. Help us to know your presence with us each day and in each situation we find ourselves in. We thank you, Lord. We glorify you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.